Hi, welcome back to Cambridge Inside Out. I am Judy Nathans.
And I'm Robert Wieners.
Yes.
And
I know you want to talk about your favorite thing, which is
my favorite thing.
Yeah, which is what you keep the elections and who's in, who's out, or whatever.
Yeah.
Not who's out, but yeah, who didn't make it.
We could do that, yeah. So so shall we lead with that?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
All right. So
you want to show your nice little
chart? We'll show some of the graphs about this here now. So for the last few rounds, we've different shows, we've talked about all the candidates who'd pulled papers.
Yes.
I know, hopefully this is all nice and visible.
Small, but people can see
it. Yeah, so just this is in order, in yellow is the people who pulled papers in sequence for city council, and then in blue are the people who pulled papers for a school committee. Right.
Okay.
And I just, now there were, in the end, there were 21.
21 you counted, you said.
Yeah, who pulled papers. But in the end, there were 19 candidates who actually made it.
Oh, okay. So I wasn't sure. Oh, you're right. Pulled. All right. So it was only 19. So it's fewer than has been in the last.
Right. And there were 10 who had pulled papers for school committee, but only 9 actually filed papers.
So who did not file that was on?
All right. So on the city council, a fellow named Santos Carrasquillo, who had actually filed papers with the state even late as last year.
Yeah.
He actually, so he picked up papers, but he never submitted any signatures. So he must have just decided against it. Another person, and I guess this is always the sort of the more awkward one, was Roy Rybitsky, who actually was there turning in an additional 18 signatures.
Yeah, you were mentioning that. Oh my goodness.
While I was there during the last 15 minutes before the deadline. He turned them in, left thinking, okay, great, I'm over the top. But he needed 17 more to qualify to hit the necessary 50. He turned in only 18 and he only got 12 of them valid. So he ended up with a total of 45 signatures. So he will not be on the ballot. All right.
So, oh, well.
I think most candidates do understand you have to put in an ample number under the presumption that some of them will not qualify.
Yeah, absolutely.
So just a strategic error. So, bless them, on the school committee side, we did have, I don't know if we've mentioned the name when we last had a TV show.
Not
but
Daria
Johnson.
Yeah, that's
I have never met, don't know what Daria, I couldn't even find a picture. So Daria actually did turn in signatures and will be on the ballot, So we have 9, so there's these 5 of the 6 incumbents are seeking re-election plus 4 challengers.
Okay.
It's not an unusual number of candidates for school committee. I mean, I won't necessarily.
Well, because you have an open seat, which is part of the reason too.
Yes, so there is an open seat in both bodies, and people are already starting to speculate. Where do you think Toomey's votes are going to go? And and what do you think is going to happen? Who's going to be on what slate? Who's going to be the feeders? Who's going to be the Fed? What are the alliances going to be? I think that maybe it's worth mentioning this here. Probably as we get closer to the elections and they start doing candidate forums, I'm sure we'll speak of this more, but there are multiple political entities now. Some people may be on multiple slates. Some people who were on slates in the past may not be on those slates this time around. For strategic reasons.
What are some of the multiple? There's a Better Cambridge. There's the
ABC
Citizens
Group.
Coalition.
Right. So if you rolled it back maybe 4 years ago, the dichotomy at the time was essentially the Cambridge Residents Alliance on the one side, and then the ABC Group, which in some respects was formed in response to the Cambridge Residents Alliance in its early days.
Interesting.
Right.
But now they're sort of blurred, aren't they?
Things have changed. But then the Our Revolution group, which I always thought of as more of a Somerville group, which sort of grew itself into Cambridge too.
Hey, it's Bernie. Come on.
And it's the Bernie people. There's no question it's the Bernie people.
Yeah.
But the thing is they've been sort of trying to flex their political muscles to whatever degree they possibly can.
They have all year they have. I mean, they're always at public comment, depending
on, it's the you know, the eagerness of youth. You know, there's a lot of younger people who are associated
democracy with by the pound. As
that yes, was yeah. yeah, you know, and there were candidates, some candidates who were endorsed. Not that endorsements are the be all end all, but they do matter somewhat.
Oh yeah,
they were endorsed by Our Revolution, Cambridge Residents Alliance, and ABC. Then there were other people.
Well,
who
that's
were,
what. The, yeah, I think Jeevan was the only one.
Yeah, he
that was.
That was
endorsed by both, which is
right. But a candidate like Patty yeah. Nolan might have been endorsed by the Residents Alliance, Our
but
Revolution,
by...
and the Cambridge Citizens Coalition,
right.
CCC.
That's true.
So there are these kind of interesting intersections going on. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at it now and thinking to myself, well, you know, if I'm part of the leadership of these cabals, because they really are like little cabals. That are basically they're kingmakers. They basically want to be the ones who say who vote for these people because I say so, right? That they're probably having to think strategically, like who do we want on the slate? Are there any people we want to exclude from our slate because it might not help us? Who do we think of as the people we real? This is the dirty part of it all of slate politics. Who do we really want to get elected, and who do we want to be on there as feeders for the key people we want to be elected, but we're not going to tell them that they're there just to be a feeder.
Yeah.
Because otherwise they might not want to be on our slate, right? So there's a lot of kind of annoying aspects about slate politics. And so we'll start to see some more of that playing itself out now. I mean, I'm already seeing the role of these independent expenditure PACs starting to kind of appear.
Really? Because the last time I looked at your chart, they didn't seem to be raising any money.
No, but they're pulling in big money now.
They are.
Yeah.
Maybe.
And I won't name the candidate now, but today I saw a $500 contribution from one of the independent expenditure PACs directly to the campaign of an individual candidate.
Is that on your expenditure that you
it's
show?
In the totals, but I didn't single out.
I'll talk to you later.
You can go through that and find it.
No, but, you'll tell me later. I won't. I'll
before
be
all was said and done, you're going to see more and more of that, you know. So
that example from Boston you just were talking about.
Boston, it's like another order of magnitude.
I mean, that was in the Globe all about that.
Five candidates for mayor, and they're kind of looking
like
at the polls.
Four different packs. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, is somebody climbing? Well, we don't want that person to climb. Hatchet.
It's interesting because they're mostly women. I mean, there's like a couple men. Is it
one? One, John Barros. He's the one polling dead last. He's like under 2%.
Oh, that's so fat. Well, it is the year of the woman, but I don't know.
And depending on when the poll's taken, you know, they've shuffled around a little bit, I think.
Right.
Janie was up at the top, but then now Wu is up at the top. And but is that how it's going to really play out? Will there be vote splitting based on
any news about Somerville? Because that's a quiet one that you don't hear about.
You know,
we talk about Our Revolution. Are we going to have an Our Revolution candidate? We do have an Our Revolution candidate,
For council?
For mayor of Somerville. No.
I think it's probably at least one, you know.
So I'm just saying it could be a mayor that's an Our Revolution.
Yeah. So anyway, it'll be interesting, or annoying, we'll see.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, there was, in addition to the politics of that, and by the way, I need to emphasize this.
Yeah.
I always try to do this thing.
Okay.
All those numbers about who's turned in the signatures and who's had the signature certified. Yeah. There were some of them who were officially certified by the Election Commission a few weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
The rest were only provisionally certified by staff, but they never change. They're always right. And then tomorrow night, the Election Commission will meet
will
officially certify.
Okay.
I believe the candidates have until about August 16th or thereabouts to withdraw if they decide against being on the ballot.
Oh, that's there true. Is a,
yeah, there is
after
a,
that, they're on the ballot.
Yeah, there's like a little 2-week period where they can decide to bail out if they so desire.
Okay.
I don't think anybody's going to bail out, but it's possible. Right. So anyway, enough for the candidates. We'll be hearing more from them, I assure you.
Oh, yeah. I think, you have on your calendar the first forums. I think they're in September. There's some.
Yeah. So, I don't have too many scheduled no,
but
so
you,
far.
But you ABC, put it there, so at least it's good to know, because people aren't going to find that on the city website, because that's not what they do.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
A private entity.
Yeah, but the ABC and the CCC
and then my brother's keeper have the three entities.
Yeah, so they've pretty much done that here. Actually, I'll just do a real just a quick shot at it.
Yeah, why don't you do that so people can get it?
So very at the very very bottom, what you'll see is a sort of a brownish tinge there. So there, okay, in September 9th is an ABC one. September 23rd is city council.
Yeah.
My brother's keeper is doing one on Thursday, September 23rd.
Yeah, they're doing one for school committee. And well, they both.
Yeah.
I guess ABC is only doing the city council. They're not interested in the.
Yeah, you know.
It's not their thing. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, it's really My Brother's Keeper's Cambridge Citizens Coalition and A Better Cambridge So Far are the only ones who've really
That's
scheduled anything.
Okay.
Or if they've. Some of those they may have scheduled, but they didn't tell me because they're not obliged.
Well, hopefully they tell other people and not have thing happen.
I put up the calendar for that just so that people can not step on each other's toes.
Right.
You know, back in the days when we had the Cambridge Civic Association, they were as much about promoting school committee candidates as they were about city council candidates.
Definitely. Yeah.
So there was no way they would just be focusing just on city council. Yeah. But
no, you know, I like the fact that My Brother's Keeper is doing that.
Yeah. They're
totally in there. Yeah,
they're a pretty important player, I think, in this at this point.
Yep.
They may be a little disorganized, but I still say they are an important player right now. So I'm going to very much pay attention to them. But you know, groups like ABC, you know, they're basically, you know, dense development is sort of their primary issue, if not their only issue. So they're not really showing anything about school committee.
Speaking of dense development, the missing middle thing, is that going to be refiled? Do we have any
Nobody has said so, but my presumption has been that
is that going to come before the election, you think?
They will probably they'll probably ride it out and maybe not have it be an election issue.
I hope not.
I don't know, you know, because I think it wouldn't necessarily help them to do it.
I don't know. I remember the affordable housing thing came before. And
I mean, I think a lot of people around the city, again, we all have our own little bubbles we live in, right?
True.
So maybe what I'm hearing from is not what everybody's hearing from. But
well, I haven't heard anything, but not you would hear more than I would.
I actually heard a lot of pushback about missing middle.
Good.
You know, and, you know, and not that people were opposed to necessarily to some greater density of residential development in places
where it
makes sense.
Like where they, like the whole thing with the West Cambridge about you have to have a parking. I mean, yes, there's got to be. In fact, isn't there a meeting coming up about the single family zoning?
In late August, there will be a neighborhood long-term planning committee meeting.
That's right.
Patty that will Nolan's be specifically about a follow-up conversation to. It was never, it's not a hardcore proposal just yet about taking another look at, you know, the exclusivity of single family zoning.
Right.
You know, and are there, should you just eliminate it entirely? Are there better ways to modify it?
It's August 24th.
That process, and I think Councillor Nolan is the one who's chairing that one.
Yes.
That's the right way.
Yes.
To look at this as opposed to just dropping a bomb.
This whole
like
thing is
did.
Like the whole city. Yeah.
Exactly.
We're not dense enough. No, we're only the seventh most dense city.
No, I mean, I'm trying to be open minded about it, but.
You fix things where you can, and there should be more allowable multiple.
Density as an end in itself and the eradication of. Neighborhood conservation districts and the eradication of historic preservation or historic landmark in history. Just because you basically want to have greater density. It's like, you know, that's a little too simple-minded for my taste. Thank you very much.
Yes. Okay.
So there were some other things that were up before the city council.
And I want to give a shout out because it happened twice. I thought Denise Simmons was so eloquent. Oh my gosh.
Absolutely correct. I actually was almost getting teary-eyed listening to her last night.
She was outstanding. I mean,
she was even
really great.
Quoting the book of Jeremiah.
I know.
In the context of mothers who've lost children.
I know.
And it was
I forgot about that. I forgot that she had lost.
She had lost her son to gun violence. Yes.
I forgot that.
She doesn't talk about it very much.
No.
Because she's never tried to capitalize on that as a political thing. You know, but it's a very personal thing for her, and you can tell it. Boy, could you tell it.
And also, then she spoke about something else after, She just was really good. I mean, just
she was spot on. Yeah. You know, yeah. she was the star in the room, even though that nobody was at the city council chamber.
I know. If I did more social media or tweeted or knew how to do any of that, I would have. And so, you know, I would have sent something out. But
And by the way, you know, the precipitating issue had to do with gun violence, and there were, you know, resolutions calling for memorials to people who have been killed.
Right.
Very. You know, and there, and it was a city council order, you know, which was sort of comprehensive in its efforts to sort of trying to address the root causes of all of this.
Weren't there two orders on guns?
Yeah, there may be so,
Something like
But you know, it's I keep coming back to and saying, like, you know, it's good that everybody wants to do things. But I'm not always convinced that legislative action is really what solves these kinds of problems. I think these tend to be much more human based and neighborhood based. So, you know, parents and police, and neighbors and friends actually are the ones. This is, I mean, this is why I think my brother's keeper is kind of like the right phrase for the right day here. That's is that I think that's really kind of how you address some of these things is on a much more human scale. You know, city councilors can, they really are not necessarily ones to do it, but it's good that they're out in front.
You're right. That was the other issue that she was so eloquent on, the whole police thing and the remember the whole, situation about the resolution on Branful Bard and the.
All right, I think I do feel I have to say something about that. Okay. And I don't want to just be picking out single really counselors on this, but
I know.
But Branful Bard has been, you know, whether it's, you know, Perry Anderson, Ronnie Watson, Robert Haas, you know, and Branful Bard, we've actually had four, you know, and I'm not even going to name some of the police chiefs before that, but I can definitely say we've had four pretty darn good police commissioners, you know, over the last 20 plus years, you know, and Branville was only with us for 4 years, but I think he did all the right things. He was a very good man, and you know, and he spoke truthfully, transparently. He was accessible, right? But he did get into some disputes in the height of all of the events of last summer.
I know,
because I mean, you know, basically, he does everything, trying to do all the right things. And then because of what's happening nationally, one or two city councilors decide to basically, you know, take it out on him, you know?
Yeah, I mean.
And that was just ridiculous. And it led to some real drama last summer, right? And it actually kind of led to some drama in a very inappropriate, I hate to use the word inappropriate, but I'm going to say in an incredibly inappropriate
I think Mayor Siddiqui said that.
He was great. She was great here. So anyway, what it was all about was just basically a resolution congratulating Branville Bard, who was moving on to taking a position with John Hopkins, you know, doing law enforcement and, you know, security for Johns Hopkins, which is, he came from Philadelphia area, you know, for 4 years. He's basically heading back closer to where he came from. And it was, you know, normally you would think it's just a nice congratulatory order, you know. Everybody should just say a few nice things and move on.
It wasn't an order, it was a resolution. So
it was a resolution,
even,
right. And Councillor Zondervan actually took the opportunity to basically take a cheap shot at Granville Bard. I didn't particularly appreciate it. Nobody on the council appreciated it.
It was really bad.
And in the middle of it all, it was Sumbul Siddiqui, bless her heart, says, Councillor, I forget your exact words. It was like, I wonder about your manners.
Yeah.
And you could tell that all the rest of the councilors were very irritated. And Sumbul Siddiqui did something that was not as rarely done. She basically said, I'm not going to let you speak anymore because I have, this is my Zoom meeting and I have the
I am the Zoom chair.
I am the queen of Zoom right now, counselor. Yeah. So you're done.
Yeah. And it was really,
and they,
really
they ended that, and you could hear, the other councilors going, thank you. And then on a resolution, which was just a congratulations to our outgoing police commissioner, Branville Bard, it got an 8-1 vote with Councillor Zondervan voting against congratulating him. And I thought, what an adolescent thing to have done.
And his name was not on the resolution either.
You know, I found that disgusting.
That plus a couple other things. It really was not his night. Because some other stuff, I forget what it was, but it was just, he was just, the curb cut thing. I mean,
Well, so now he's going to basically vote against anybody time anybody's going to do something where there's something involving a driveway, because my God, there might be some paving.
Well,
somewhere.
No, this was because of the nature of the business, because it was going.
That's right.
It doesn't give jobs to people, but infectious diseases. I mean, I don't know.
So unless you basically check every single box on my checklist of socially correct things, you're not going to get any okay.
But, I mean, I guess he has his supporters that are waiting.
No, he'll do fine. I mean, I'm sure he's going to get a lot of number one votes, you know. So, by the way, something we haven't really talked about in a while, but I think it's at least worth mentioning, was COVID.
Okay.
Right.
Oh.
And again, not
COVID.
Remember that? Yeah.
Yeah. Every time I look down at my fixture in my sink, it says Delta, because Delta. I can't forget it.
Yeah, so it's we were pretty much leveling off. Everything was all about leveling the curve, and then something happened, namely this. I think it's a Delta variant primarily.
Oh dear. So all right. So what am I looking at right here?
Basically, you're looking at just a cross section from about 6,050 to about 300 person spread, but it was nice and level, and then it just was taken off. Okay.
No, but where is this starting? What's the beginning date on this?
This is actually just here from mid-June until
this
now.
This is just 2021.
Yeah, we've nicely leveled out. And
Last few weeks, we rose.
But I have to say something, just to not sound too
alarmist.
Pessimistic and alarmist about it.
Yeah.
When you look at the average number of new infections per day from the very beginning of this,
the whole thing. Okay.
Yeah, so you saw the early spike. And then nobody realized just how bad it was going to become.
Then it got bad again in the fall.
And then seemed to be all dying out. And now we have this last little blip here, which is basically the Delta variant. But I want to say something a little optimistically.
Okay.
This is not based on hard analysis at all.
Well, we're now vaccinated, so that does make some.
Well, yeah. So what I'm going to assert here, and I might be just completely full of beans, but it's that I would have actually imagined that in the recent weeks here, this would have been rising, peaking, and then dying off. And it seems to be basically plateauing. It's like the peak is being blunted. And I look at that and I say, that's the effect of vaccination.
I think you're right there, Robert.
This damn Delta virus is basically opportunistically trying to find a cluster here, a cluster there, a few unwitting people hanging out and being a little too careless or whatever. It's getting through and it's getting through, but the vaccination is beating it back.
Yes.
You know, and I think that actually this is what has actually been, and by the way, you can also see if you look at this by age group, it is primarily the increases in recent days.
Wow, 20 to 29, look at that.
Well, the 0 to 19, the 20 to 29.
And I would say, I think they're vaccinated, but they're also the people to be out at bars more and be indoors.
Yeah,
they'd be out there at. They're not people that are watching TV.
Older people are the ones who got vaccinated early on. So their numbers are pretty much not changing at all. But the thing is, and I think there's still a lot of people getting vaccinated in the younger realm. So there's still opportunities for Delta to basically crash the party.
Well, because you carry 1,000 times more virus than you're, that to me, whoa.
Right. But, I look at this and I'm saying like, boy, if you ever want to see both evidence of the effectiveness of vaccine, it was a lot of worry about what was happening on the Cape down around Provincetown, right?
Well, when you have 60,000 people converge on a very small space.
So there's a big spike.
And it was rainy. So people were indoors. Yeah.
But the remarkable thing I think people need to
know.
Nobody died.
Yeah. Right.
When was the last death we had in Cambridge? Knock wood. Right.
Yeah.
All right. So, if there is a tremendous evidence of the effectiveness of the vaccinations here, and you can see it even locally, but there are still opportunities for these viruses to find their way in, to continue to wreak some havoc, but it tends to be in limited ways, so rather than just gigantic takeoff, what do they call that, super spreader type of ways that we saw last year.
Super spreader.
So I'm actually starting to feel a little more optimistic again about this. And
are you wearing a mask when you go inside places?
Not usually.
Really? I am. You know, I was at an event, which no one talked about, by the way, because no one, I was going to, Elsa Dorfman, who died last year. They had the Harvard Square Business Association and Harvard Film Archive had a filming and dedication to her and Aldo Tambellini, who was a poet, artist. Anyway, on Commerce Street, outdoors, on Saturday night, and I went, and it was delightful. And Errol Morris, who was the filmmaker behind the film that was made about her, and I did wear my mask because I haven't sat among people in a long time, and I didn't care that I was outside. So,
I'll say is that there are. I'm starting to get to the point now when I'm in certain situations, and I start going, maybe I should.
I don't know. I think
but I'm not quite there.
Home Depot, I just read, is going to require people coming into the store afterward. And Target, I think, maybe.
Yeah, and Middle East, actually.
Well, Middle East is a restaurant.
They're requiring vaccinations now.
Yeah, but they also do karaoke. I would not do karaoke. No.
Right, right.
Anyway. Yeah.
So anyway,
that's that. And so there won't be another city council meeting till when?
Probably about the second week of September. It's
Labor Day's early this year.
If City Clerk Anthony Wilson is listening, you better get that schedule up posted, because normally by the summer meeting, we've already seen the schedule for the fall, and I haven't yet seen it. So
I've seen that. No, I think it's September 13th. No.
Really? Well, all right.
It would be Labor Day is the 6th. By the way, we were supposed to have a show on the 7th, but it is Rosh Hashanah, and it's my daughter's birthday, and consider it was a holiday, so I cannot be here. I don't know if you want to do a show, but that's I'm just putting that out here in case people don't see us on September 7th.
Right, but we got one more since then in a couple of weeks.
That's true. I'm sorry. I'm jumping the gun here. You're right, absolutely, but I just wanted to put it out there. I forgot. We have our...
I'll bring in Joan Rivers, and just like, wasn't that Joan Rivers was the stand-in whenever
I think we Johnny Carson was to the Jews in the world. I think we should not have it, but and it's also a holiday anyway, but we'll talk about that next. You're right, our next one is in third Tuesday, so it must be
So meanwhile, if you're interested, find out more about all the candidates,
go to his candidate page,
keep an open mind,
and candidates,
and ask hard questions. Roberts.
Yes, and especially the charter thing. Yeah.
Yeah, really, press them hard. But you'll make them better candidates if you ask them hard questions.
Okay. So. All right. So we're going to sign off, I think, in a few seconds. All right. Bye.
See you later.
Bye.